Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
So, just wanted to reiterate that.
God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have been looking at the church. We've been looking at different aspects of the, you know, of the church, and we started by talking about ecclesia, we started talking about the environment, what is happening within the church, especially that is beyond our whole natural heights that the Bible points us to. So when you go to Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 to 19, I'm just going to read that verse 10 to 12 for now. The Bible says, now when Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went towards Aaron. So he came to a certain place. He stayed there all night because the sun had set. The Bible says that he took the stones of that place and he put it at his head, and he laid down in the place to sleep. The Bible says, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and it stopped reach to heaven. Now, why I liked this part is to say that this ladder that we've been talking about, that's culminated in the first pronouncement of the church. The Bible says that this ladder was set on earth. And it is important that as we remind ourselves that it was set on earth, it is not, so that means that the ladder started, so when they wanted to set it up, the ladder started from the earth and moved to the heavens. And you will begin to see that scriptures do not throw words. Scriptures for all words that, you know, when you read scriptures, there is a particular reason why there's an emphasis on something. I'll give an example. When you read the Bible, you will always see that when a man is going backwards into sin or into the wrong thing, the Bible will use the word, they go down. So, when somebody is going towards a restorative path, so let's go to just the next slide, please. So, whenever Israel is going to Egypt, the Bible will say they go down to Egypt. It is, this going down is not a question of geographical point. It is inside of that conversation, what the Bible is saying, that person is moving from the place of where God has placed them into the place where they should not be. So you would see it again. Let's go to Exodus, please. You would see it, Genesis. Genesis. The Bible says, the Lord appeared to Isaac and he said, do not go down to Egypt. So at times when the Bible uses certain words to describe a thing, you know, most of the time people read over it and people just go, you know, maybe what God is just saying, that they should not go to Egypt. No, it's actually more. There's a lot being said in that same statement. So you would see, when you go to Genesis 35, you would see that, you know, the Bible says that, and God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel. So when a man is going to the place, so you would see this being pointed out as you read through scriptures, that the Bible may use the word, you know, they went down to this, they went down to that. It is not saying that when they were was physically up, but what the Bible is saying is that when you, the person is either moving away from God's purpose or moving towards God's purpose of their life. So you would see the Bible always use going up or going down. Now, why did I say that? Is when we're about to Genesis 28, the Bible's the Bible. So I said that to come to this point, that when the Bible now says it was set up from heart, it was just not a general, because they have no other English to use, or they are trying to describe it. So that's why I am pointing you to, I did that quick diversion for you to understand that at times there are terms the Bible uses and there are specific reasons why it's using it. So the Bible says he dreamt and he saw the ladder starting off. So that means that the Bible says that the ladder started off from there. So that means this ladder that we're about to talk about, or whatever it is that I have to talk about, it is something that is initiated from the heart. And the Bible says on the top of, and the top reached heaven, and there were angels of God who were ascending and descending on it. So that means that, and this kind of is quite interesting, because angels should be able to fly everywhere. But it seems like this ladder is providing an opportunity for them to move from heaven to earth. You know, and God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we go home next, just then the next one. God bless you. So as we go on, you will see that when we go to verse 15. And verse 16, the Bible says that after the whole thing happened, he woke up from his sleep and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know." And he was afraid and he said, "This place is no other than the house of God, the gates of heaven." So he had an encounter in the dream. And when he woke up, he said, "This place is the house of God, the gates of heaven." So when I just wanted you to, as we look at the ladder that he saw that was stepped from the earth going to heaven, when he woke up, he said, "God is in this place, and I did not know." One thing I want us to also understand is that, is it not interesting that when he woke up that morning, would it be wrong for him to have said, "If God was in this place and I did not know"? Because he had a revelation. But what he said is that God is in this place. So that means what he's saying is that is just a picture of a reality that's happening where I am. Does that make sense? So when we just go on, please, man, and the Bible says, then he rose up early in the morning and took the stone he had put at his head and set it as a pillar and poured oil on it. And he called the new place Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. Bet means house. Hell means God. That's what I'm saying. So El, but the last bit. So that's why we have Eli. That's Elohim. That towards the end means God, and the beginning is house. So you have Bethlehem, and things like that. So what it means is that it's calling it the house of God. Okay. So we have a ladder set from heaven, where angels choose to use that ladder as a route. Matthew goes on to say, Jesus was saying to us, Jesus said, and the Bible, Matthew 21, the Bible says, and Jesus entered the courts of the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling and overturned the tables of the money changers and the bench of those who were selling those. And he said, "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called the house of prayer." So that means that when God was talking about the house of God, that thing had to do with prayer. That is why when he woke up, what he did was to build an altar. Does that make sense? So when he woke up, one of the things that he used as a mark of that place was an altar. And an altar is the place where people call on God or where people have encounters with God. So we see here that it got to a point, and Jesus is telling us that one of the marks of the house of God is called the house of prayer. Now, the question is, the man had a dream. He saw angels descending and ascending. He saw God at the top, and he called it the house of God. And the Bible later tells us, Jesus later explains to us that the house of God, Isaiah prophesied it, but he said the house of God is a house of prayer. So what we are coming to talk about is that prayer is an opportunity to fellowship with God. Prayer opens you up to an environment. It gives you the grace to be able to interact with an environment. Does that make sense? So when he woke up from that experience, he said, God is here. So what I need to do is to build an altar to be able to effectively interact with that environment. Now, one of the things we would discover out as we are looking at that prayer is not just to ask God for what you need. Prayer, see, there was a time when I felt that God taught me that he said, if your prayer life is based on what you need, he said you will struggle. May God allow us to get there. You know, have you ever been to a place where you are genuinely thinking of a prayer point, but you don't have it? Because God has been so good to you. At that point in time, if all you understand about prayer is God, destroy this, God, destroy that, and things like that, you would not understand, you would not have access to certain things about prayer. So you would see that the Bible says in Revelations, you know, Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says that it was talking about a worship going on in heaven, and you had the angels, you had the 24 elders, you had everybody involved. And the Bible says, and when they are taking the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one had arms, and we're holding a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. So what the Bible is saying is that your prayer is an instrument of worship in heaven. Does that make sense? So when I am praying, I am actually engaging in a fellowship that is going on. I am, if these men are carrying a bowl that includes my prayer, then that means that, and the Bible says that rather than that prayer is to say, at times, one of the things you would see is that at times you do some prayers and your prayer is actually converted to worship. What you call response to prayer is God's delight in that worship. I don't really get what I'm trying to say. So the Bible says, because if this were to be my prayer of Ishegun, please, I'm not saying that is wrong. I'm just giving you an overview of what prayer does. Then you should have said that, they should not be singing a song. You should have said, Oluwa, destroy all my enemies and things like that. No, that's not what he said. The Bible says that, and they sang a song, says, you are worthy to take the scroll and open the seal, because you were slain and your blood was purchased, and with your blood you purchased God's people from every tribe, nation, and things like that. Now, what I wanted to first of all point out is that prayer is deeper than just our desires. Because what he does is that he opens you up to an environment where you can interact. He opens you up to join in worship. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 4 says that another angel who had a golden censer, the Bible says, came and he stood at the altar and he was given much incense to offer to. So it was as if when God wanted to smell an incense, they took the prayers of people and that became incense before God. The day I understood, I learned about this, I said, God, if I was the only one on earth that God is waiting for incense from, they will have pack up because there will be no incense to give. So the Bible says that the prayer, he said, on the golden altar in front of the throne. The Bible says the smoke of incense together with the prayers of God's people went before God. Now, these are things at times that are symbolic, especially in our fold. It doesn't necessarily mean that if you don't blow incense, your prayers are not answered. I believe that when people have encounters, especially spiritual, God opens up their mind. They are seeing certain things and they're saying, you know, and they said, I know when you're praying, you burn incense. What is actually trying to make you understand is that what your prayer is actually being turned to an incense before God. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So we see that. What we are first of all establishing is that to be able to get a maximum fellowship of our environment, prayer opens us up to be able to interact with the environments going on. So you would see an example where Jesus was talking in Luke chapter 9. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." So he was saying that, I want to go and show you, I want you to begin to see some levels and interact. He said, and the Bible says about 8 days after. So what the Bible is saying is that after he had said that, 8 days after, he took Peter, James, and John, and he went up to the mountain to pray. And the Bible says, as he was praying, that kingdom that he said they would see became visible. The Bible says, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as lightning. Let's go on. Said two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor with talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure which was about to bring to fulfillment. Now, I'm going to talk about the fact that when prayer gets to a point, prayer is not always to take away body. Because this, about his departure, it's not that I was going to say departure around you. In that prayer, they were making it clear how the journey in Gethsemane would be. So what I'm trying to say is that, so this prayer that he opened up and he began to interact with people, the conversation was like, this is how it's going to be. So what I'm trying to say is that altars of prayer at times is an altar where people receive strength in times of trouble. It may not necessarily take away the trouble, but it will give you grace to follow it. You will see the other time when you see Jesus, again, when he got to this, what I might call departure lounge, when he was about to go through Gethsemane, the Bible says an angel came while Jesus was praying, and the angel stretched him. What was his prayer before? Father, take this cup away from me. That was prayer point. But when the angel came, they said, no. Prayer, this prayer altar is not to take away cup. It's to actually strengthen you to go through it. So, if A man does not understand, if I don't understand the altar of prayer at times, or what is happening within the prayer altar, and I say, God, I have been asking that you will do this, and you have not done that. You have let me alone. God said, no. What this altar of prayer has done is to open you up, to strengthen you to go through this journey. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are talking about fellowshipping in prayer. And this is an example of where Jesus opened, was telling people that, you know, why was he saying that you would see it? What Jesus was trying to say is that this experience is not only to me because I am Jesus. It is something that you all can partake in it. And he was saying to them, you can come to, you know, we can come to it as we begin to interact. Now, why is it possible for us to interact in that kind of environment? Because man is created both body, soul, and spirit. And we talked about this last few weeks also, that your body is fed by what comes from the ground, because that is where your body comes from. But your spirit is fed by your relationship with God, because that is where it came from. That is where it came from. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Luke 18:1, Jesus said, he spoke a parable that men always heard to pray and not lose heart. Always hard to pray. That means that when God was designing a human being, prayer was key in that, in your formation or my formation, even as I come into God. Now, one of the Bible says always hard to pray. That means not sometime, not few times. See, one of the things where the devil has helped us to, well, I won't say devil, just generally. So, see, certain teachings, if it's not balanced well, will lead to issues. Have you heard somebody say, it's not everything you pray about? It's not everything is not prayer. There are certain things you should do and not pray. It's not, everything is not prayer. And it sounds right. It sounds okay, but it's not biblical. What you are supposed to do is to work in partnership with what you are praying about. So if I'm supposed to go and if I have exams, I am supposed to pray and read. Why? Because that gives me the opportunity to always learn how to... Okay, can I say that if our food, our natural food, is if the way we eat is what is that comes from the ground, is what nourishes our body. Do you know that it is not... If you only eat when you are hungry, you could have a problem. Does that make sense? There are times they will tell you, even if you're not hungry, eat something. Why? Because your body needs it. Now, when you don't pray about everything, let's go to the next scripture, please. Philippians 4 said, do not worry about anything, but instead, pray about everything. The Bible did not say, there are certain things you don't pray about. There are certain things you pray about. You pray about everything. But what you don't do, you don't leave your own part for God to do. You do your own part and you expect God to do it. Now, the danger of not learning to pray about everything makes you begin to have a kind of life that, you know, there are certain things you are not, your body is not, your spirit is meant to interact with God on everything. On everything. You want to sleep, you pray. I'm going to walk, I'm doing things, to pray. I'm talking to somebody, somebody is having a conversation with me, and I'm saying, God, give me the right word to say. I am at that point in time praying. That's why Jesus said, man always ought to pray. Why? Because if you are actually functioning and you are praying about everything, you would always be praying. But the ideology that has crept in is that it's not everything you pray about. There are some things you use common sense, and some things you pray about. In as much as that statement is true, it is half truth. So what the Bible teaches is that you pray about everything. Now, everything means everything. Everything means everything. In fact, you'll be surprised how much help you can get about the things that you think are menial and do not matter. Because at times, those things, one thing from my own little experience is that those things help to build your faith. So you have a headache now. You say, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this headache goes. And you wait a while and you take your parable. But what you are doing, you are building up your consciousness to it. So before anything happens, your first response is prayer. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. So, because as soon as you are constantly giving your spirit the opportunity to always interact with God about everything. See, there are times where people would say that, see, you know, actually I'm guilty of it. You know, we need to always pray about everything. Pray about everything. Walk into your house, you know, as you are greeting your kids, good morning, God bless you. You are adding prayer to it. Pray about everything. You hear something, God, this thing is in your hands. I know you are hearing me. I know you see what has just happened. Somebody has just done something that you don't like. God, I know you see what's happened. I ask that you help me to take charge of all of this. We pray about everything. Now, David understood that prayer opened up an opportunity into realms. He understood that as soon as he began to pray, there were opportunities around that was opening up constantly. So you would see in Psalm 141 verse 2, the Bible says, may my prayers be set before you like an incense. You know, we spoke in Revelation that prayer is regarded as incense. Said, may my prayer be and the lifting of my hand be like the evening sacrifice. What led us to take note of the evening sacrifice. Now, Daniel opened us to another opportunity. That Daniel was saying that it was as if that the angels were walking to the timing of prayer. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, he says, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in my earlier vision. Now, Gabriel being the angel, whom I had seen in my whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening sacrifice. So when you are praying about everything, you are causing the angels around you to keep walking. And at times, they know that by the time somebody gets somewhere, this person is going somewhere, this person has prayed to us about certain things. You are engaging them more. Now, one thing I just wanted to also point out to all sisters. The Bible says, being caused to fly swiftly. What does that mean? It means that, assuming Angel Gabriel was going at 10 kilometers an hour, as prayer continued, that prayer was propelling him to walk faster. So at times, for lack of better expression, when your prayer life is you see, there are some people that I used to say that angels love to be around them because there is no work to do. It's all in the camp. Say, where are you going? I'm going to, you know. That boy, don't worry. Just go there. All this one that you do, will just walk you. This one, don't worry. The highest thing that you can hear is, bless this food, oh Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. And he just said, no. He said, we can do that. We can do that. The Bible says he was cursed. That means the prayer was pushing, was propelling them around them. And when we learn to pray above everything, you will begin to discover that they are more mobile around you. They are more mobile around you. One thing I'm also going to point out to us is that as you journey in the journey of prayer, and as you begin to pray about everything, you begin to see that one thing God will begin to do is that when you come up to a point of fellowship with other people, your prayer point will not be the issue. They will not be. What I'm trying to say is that they will be giving you prayer points to pray about. I don't even get what I'm trying to say. They'll be giving you prayer points to pray about. So it will be things that may not be relevant, things that you think you don't need. You'll be reading the Bible, and the Bible will lead you to a point of prayer. I tell people that it's good to listen. I listen to a lot of sermons. But I encourage people to listen to sermons that will lead you to the point of prayer. I'm talking about sermons alone that talk about Ogunwanyi and Wanje, Origumeri. That's what I'm talking about. You know, the one where you would see, I was sharing with someone during the week. You know, I was listening to a sermon, and it was so obvious to me that, by the way, you need help. You know, is that in my journey as a Christian, coming back home, I was just praying. Nobody called prayer point for me. But you need to create an environment that would lead you to prayer. One of the things that is interesting in prayers is that when you discover something new in scriptures, that thing will propel you to prayers. Most of the time, if you have not discovered anything, there's nothing to pray about. So that's why it's important that you open yourself up to the word in such a way that it will keep interacting with you, and your prayer life would be, you know, you will begin to see more and more as you come together with, as we fellowship together with God. So the Bible says that the angel was being caused to fly more swiftly. There is an interaction that your spirit man is trying to say, let me interact with the environment, but I need you to be that outlet where I can connect. Let's just read this scripture. The last one. Yeah, the Bible says, when Jesus entered the temple, people are looking at times there. What just happened? Amen. What's going on? Amen. But I hope you are coming to a point. You see, as we are talking, I hope a desire to pray is building up inside of me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, that is the aim of, that is where you will see the apostle will say the word and prayer. Because what the word does is that it brings you to the doorstep of prayer. And that which you have seen, what you do is that what you see in the word, you bring it into prayer. You know, and what prayer does is that it transports you. That's what we're talking about. That's why the song says, Wakatia Dura Didum. No way if here no 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 cruel like it. What prayer does is that it transports you from this world and you are standing before the Creator. You are standing before the Creator. Amen.
Amen.
Now, just the scriptures is that when we're talking about the house of God, it's important to know that the Bible, 1 Peter 2:5, just 1 Peter 2:5 says that you also are like living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. If you are the building of God, what are you called? If somebody is going to identify something with you, God is saying, no, my house should be called the house of prayer. So when you see a Christian that is the house of God, what God is saying, no, this one should be called the house of prayer. It should be called the house of prayer. The Bible says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of God and the spirit of God's spirit dwell within you? Just the last scripture that we read earlier, but that's the Matthew 21. The Bible says, do you have Luke there? Is it Luke? Wonderful. Oh, okay. All right. I guess that was, don't worry. Now, the Bible says Jesus, when he entered the temple, he drove out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the table of the money changers and those selling the dove, and said, it is written. He said to them, my house will be called the house of prayer. That means that it is not them that will call it. It is not you that will call it. People, your life will be so evident that somebody would say, this woman is a woman of prayer. And he said, but you have now made it the den of thieves. What are you making your own body? What have you manufactured yourself to become? What God is saying is that you should be the house of prayer. There are people around, there are beings around you that they only interact with you on the altar of prayer. And if you will not pray, then it's just going to be difficult. Now, it doesn't mean, please don't get me wrong, I know it's a challenge. It's a challenge at times. It's a challenge. That's why the Bible says about people who labor in prayer. Because prayer at times takes labor. Prayer at times takes labor. But one thing I have discovered about prayer is that as you begin to start gradually, is as if what comes to my mind in prayer is like a plane. When the plane wants to go, take off at times, it takes a lot of energy. But once it's in flight, it's no more struggling. At times, the time when you are struggling to break through, it will be like, ah, I think bad right. If there's anything you get from here, it's two things. Pray about everything. Prayer is not only for people who need something. Prayer is a fellowship with God. Prayer is a fellowship with God. Somebody was sharing an encounter with me during the week, and the person was saying to me that they were praying at the point, and God said, no, pray a little longer because I want to show you certain things. What God is saying is that let this fellowship get to a point where we can bring you to a place where we can begin to discuss certain things. Please, we are not saying that a prayer life is not built in one day. But it's first of all that you know what it takes and what your desires are. Somebody said, Bruce Lee said, I'd rather have somebody who kicks, who practice one kick 1,000 times than the one that practices 10,000 kicks one time. So what I'm trying to say, that's why the Bible talks about prayer as a consistency. So it is not out of saying, I'm going to pray after that week. Everything is done. But it's for us to know that I can be unhurt and I can be transferred into God's kingdom on the altar of prayer. So as we come to the point where we sing the song, when you walk out here, do what you do. Look, baby, no see. Kuro lagi, no see what you tell babani. You know, the song says, ni baba no ja ataro, adra la bufu okoni. Ini polo buish. And the song says that the sweet hour of prayer, what it means is that prayer gets to a point where it becomes sweet. You are having a conversation. You want to be in the environment of prayer. It is possible for everyone. That's why Jesus said, some of you would see the kingdom of God before you die. And as he was praying, the environments began to respond. Some of us, you know, I was reading a part of scripture where the Bible says that Jesus went around healing people. And the Bible says later that he woke up very early in the morning and he went to pray. The next day, he woke up very late to go and pray. And his disciples came and he said, Jesus, everybody is looking for you. What should be the response of Jesus? I just healed so many people. So people are looking for me. That place must be. Let's start something there. But when Jesus responded, Jesus said, let us go to another place. Because what happens at the altar of prayer, you see things differently from what every other person sees. Let us rise up, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.